what a church. Oh, praise God. Well, we're just about at the end of the book of Revelation. We're going to do an overview of chapter 22 today. Because up until last night, I was very comfortable with what I believed about chapter 22. Every Saturday, what I do before I preach, the last thing I do is pick up other commentaries to see what other people are saying and see how close we are in just studying God's Word, because God's Word is truth. It's not free for you to come up with your own definition and someone else to come up with their own definition when we get into Scripture. So the last thing I do before I preach is pick up commentaries and read them on Saturdays. You know, I couldn't find basically one commentary that agreed with me on chapter 22. I mean, man, I was going, where are they coming from? And I looked and I studied and I read some more, and about five or six commentaries, and they was all saying how they believed that John never got the opportunity to finish up and explain out chapter 22 and how chopped up it was, and it wasn't right. So, I mean, I didn't see it that way, and I've studied the book of Revelation for I don't know how many years before I preached it. So I kind of figured, well, this is what I studied, this is what I believe, and this is why I'm going to preach it, and this is how I'm going to say it, and that prayerfully I can help you understand some of the things I think that most of the commentary writers have missed, because they don't follow the flow of what I believe the book of Revelation is, and definitely they don't follow the flow of chapter 22. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to do an overview real quickly of the book of Revelation, then an overview of chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, and then we're going to come back next week and break down some specifics in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, and then finish prayerfully that book, and then we're going to start here in a couple of weeks the book of Matthew. Amen? So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. But Father, you know, in order for this to take place and for your word to be clear, you have to remove your servant out of the way. So Father, I pray you move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. And I pray, Father, that you will teach me that others may be taught. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you'll convict us. And for those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray you would comfort us. For Lord, this is your word, and what a powerful word it is. And we praise you in your son's most holy, precious, glorious name. We all say, praise God. You know, if anyone said amen, they're visiting, so make them feel at home. Amen? Some of you get that on the way to your car and go, he got me. Now, I'm going to give you a pretty good overview of the book of Revelation. Then we're going to come back down and do an overview of chapter 22. Now, man has put in the chapters. When John, the apostle, wrote to all the seven churches the book of Revelation, he wrote it as a letter, not as chapters. And what man has done is come along and have added to that letter, chapters. And I disagree with how they've broken down, especially chapter 21 and 22. And I totally disagree. If you got a red letter edition on chapters 22, you'll see one or two verses will be in red, means that it was said by Christ. I believe that they have truly messed up that flow. And I'm going to go through as we walk through and see if we can all agree whether that is true by the time we finish the next couple of weeks out of the book of Revelation. Now, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, amen? You don't have to agree with that now. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'm not the dumbest guy in the world. And I spent lots of time in this book with the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God has given me an understanding here that's a little bit different than others. And it doesn't mean that I'm right or they're right or I'm wrong or they're wrong. I just believe that we have to watch out where we place our theology. when we're trying to see what God says instead of what we want him to say. And just about every commentary that I read on this was quoting the same guys. They was going back and forth and quoting and saying almost the same thing. And I was saying, well, where are the free thinkers at today? We are afraid for God to teach us something that he may have never taught anyone else. That's why we are codependent upon one another. We are interdependent. I looked that up on the way over here so I can impress some of you Eastsiders. Amen. I want to hear a big word. I want to use a big word. Interdependent on one another. And there's things, if God is incomprehensible, there are things that God hadn't revealed to anyone else that he wants to reveal to you if you would study. So that the church, us, can have the whole picture of what he's saying. No one has God in a box when it comes to who he is. So never ever just take another man's word for what he says the word says. Get in and study it. And if you come up with some of the words, then share it. And then that way we get the whole picture of the message that God wants us to have. Amen? That's why it is essential that you and I are studying the word together so that we can have the whole picture that God has for us. My breakdown of the book of Revelation, the reason why I believe they have a very difficult time trying to understand chapter 22 is because they're trying to make all of 22 for the future. Chapters 4 through 21 we know has been future, and I think what they tried to do is add chapter 22. Only the first five verses of chapter 22 is dealing with the future. Now, this is how we should break down the book of Revelation. Chapter 1 of the book of Revelation is the beginning of time, creation, God creating Adam and Eve, all the way up to Christ's death on the cross and resurrection. That's chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. After Christ's crucifixion and resurrection begins the book of Acts, which starts the transitional period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Remember, Pastor Hughes said, you had to put your thinking cap on today to walk with me through this. Because I'm going to give you the overview, and then we're going to go back in a week or so, and we're going to start breaking it down. Chapters 4 through, I believe, chapters 22-5 is the beginning of the tribulation and millennial period. Chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation is what we're in right now, the present age of the church. The seven churches that is in chapters 2 and 3 plus chapter 22, verse 6 through 21, is the present. Okay, is everyone following me? You guys are looking like... Now, let's break it down again. Chapter 1 is the beginning of time, all of creation, Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, up to Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Chapter 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation is the church age, from the resurrection of Christ, starting with the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not basically New Testament. It is New Testament in the Bible, but it's still under Old Testament law. You got to understand that. We're going to break that down when we get to the book of Matthew, and we're going to prove some really bad teaching in New Testament teaching because you're trying to use verses out of Matthew to prove points that is not a New Testament point. The New Testament does not really start as far as grace until the book of Acts transitions into the epistles. That goes, chapter 2 and 3, is the modern day period with us, plus chapter 22, verse 6 through 21. It's the present day. Chapter 4, verse 1, all the way to chapter 22, verse 5, is 1,007 years. That's all. 1,007 years as we know the earth. 7 years of tribulation, 1,000 years, a millennial period, and reign with Christ with believers. God's going to shut it down, close down, kill everything that we know today, destroy the heavens, destroy the earth, then create the new heavens and the new earth. Chapter 21, verse 1 through chapter 22, verse 5. Woo! Say, all right, are we flowing now? We got it? Okay, here we go. What we're going to do now is we're going to walk into chapter 22, which I believe, if I was dividing it up, I would not end chapter 21 until I got to verse 5 of chapter 22. I wouldn't start chapter 22 until I got to verse 6. But since I wasn't around and they didn't ask me, amen, then they didn't get my input. Now, it's also very difficult to understand chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. It seems very disjointed. It's because very few people would tell you that it jumps from one verse to another verse at times, from one person speaking to another person speaking. One time the angel speaks, another time John, who's writing, speaks, and another time Jesus is speaking. And if you don't take the transition with the different speakers, you totally get confused about what's being said, and chapter 22 seems very disjointed. Okay? So we're going to read the whole chapter with a little bit of commentary to go through all of chapter 22, and I'm going to show you when a different person speaks. And if you can see when a different person speaks, you can see where it's very, very, very easy to understand, and what's being said by the different speakers will make sense why it seems like it's disjointed, but each one has a different emphasis that he wants to give to the audience. Huh? All right. Verse 1, chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Verse 1 through 5 is John, the one who's getting the revelation, is speaking. It is he that is showing you what he is getting all the way back to chapter 21, verse 9. He's reporting to you what is given from that angel. Go to 21:9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come here, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. That same angel is still talking to him in chapter 22, verse 1 through 5. But John is reporting to you and I what that angel is showing him. Now, that's important for you to understand in order to get this flow. Listen to what he's saying. Verses 1 through 5, as we have explained what the new heaven is going to be like and the new earth and what Christians are going to be like, we have already explained the outside of the heavenly city. We said in chapter 21 that the heavenly city that's going to come down from God, that is the new heaven and the new earth, is going to be 14,000 miles long, 14,000 miles wide, 14,000 miles high, and the wall is going to be 200 feet thick of pure jasper. Oh, what a city! That's what I talk about, baby. You start driving around that city, you start at five minutes or seven, you don't get through until 10 minutes to 10 the next day. Boy, are y'all happy about this, or y'all just still trying to catch up with all that breakdown? Oh, okay, now I'm going to go a little slower, okay? Would that be okay with y'all? Now we go to the inside of the city. First, they showed us in chapter 21 the outside, what the outside looks. Now, he's going to show us what the inside of the city is going to look like, and we'll break that down next week. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, the city, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bore 12 kinds of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree was for the healing of the nation. Very bad mistranslations going on here, because it seems like once we get to heaven, there needs to be some healing still going on. Let's get some sicknesses, and we need to eat these fruit and those types of things to be happy. We're going to break that down. Don't get confused. Amen? Don't get confused. Verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no lamp, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's John speaking. Everyone flowing with me? Connected to chapter 21. Be careful, because watch what's happening. It's not going to give you any indications. It's not going to give you any top heading. Even good study Bibles won't even tell you, because I don't think most of the good study Bibles have been written understand how quickly someone starts talking differently than the person that was doing it previously. Verse 6 and 7, it goes from John talking about what he's seeing from the angel that is showing him things from chapter 21, verse 9, and it goes straight to Jesus Christ starts speaking. Verse 6. And he said unto me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book. That's Jesus Christ, verse 6 and 7. Soon as Jesus Christ gets through speaking, John is overwhelmed by what he's seeing. He starts speaking. Verse 8, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And the minute he falls down as he's bringing this revelation, he starts to worship the angel, and the angel interrupts his conversation. Boy, don't you do that. You see it? Am I the only one that's seeing this? Now, all in 8 verses, we got John has spoken, Jesus has spoken, then John speaks again, and then the angel breaks in and speaks. Look at this, verse 9. Then said he unto me, don't do that. Don't worship me. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them who keep the words of the book. You worship God. Oh! Can I get a witness? Amen. He said, don't get caught up in me. You know how many Christians, I'm amazed at the amount of Christians who get caught up in everything except worshiping God. We get caught up in wanting a husband. We get caught up in wanting a wife. We get caught up in wanting a new husband and a new wife. Can't hear you, church. We get caught up in houses. We get caught up in new cars. We get caught up in even having a building. Oh, I just can't worship unless we get a new church building. Can't hear you. Oh, I got to have this kind of money. I mean, we start worshiping everything, and then we try to make it spiritual by pretending like it'll make us closer to God if we had it. The angel says, if you don't do anything, you worship God. Don't get caught up in worshiping angels. We get caught up in worshiping angels. Amen. We get caught up in worshiping when God's coming back. We get so caught up in when God's coming back, we ain't doing nothing to help him come back. We get caught up in the spirit. We get caught up in the gifts of the spirit. God says, don't do it. The angel says, don't do it. Worship who?
God.
Worship who?
God.
We're going to break that down in a few moments. He that is unjust. Oh, I love this. We better go to 10. He said, don't worship me, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. One of the first times it says, don't seal it up. I'm going to break that down and find out why the urgency. He that is unjust, let him be unjust, steal. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy, steal. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous, steal. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Boom. End of the conversation of the angel. Jesus Christ jumps back in and starts talking again. Now listen, can you see it? John speaks. Jesus speaks. In the middle of Jesus' speech, John gets excited, falls down on the angel. Instead of looking at Jesus Christ, the angel says, whoa, boy, don't do that. You're going to get me in trouble with my boss. Can you see the conversation here? John speaks, Jesus jumps in, starts giving him some stuff. John gets overwhelmed, falls down, starts worshiping the angel. The angel goes, oh, I can't let this happen. Angel jumps in. When he gets through talking to him, Jesus, can I start back now? It's just kind of natural. See what I'm saying? You got three people. How many of you ever had a conversation with three people that's excited? Have you ever had a conversation with three people that's excited? Is there any order how things jump, how they jump in and out? You tell me how you can. How excited would you be if you're in the place of an angel telling you great things and revealing the truth like no one has ever seen ever? And then that's Jesus Christ talking to you right in the middle. Your heart is already saying quit. And you just get excited about telling it, and then all of a sudden the angel shows you most of them, you just jump down, oh, and the angel goes, don't do that, man, Jesus is here. You pay attention to him. And Jesus, can I start back again? I love that, man. Did that make sense? Is that helping you? I think with verse 12, Jesus starts back, and he doesn't quit speaking until he gets to verse 19. But in most Bibles that are red letter edition, they only got about one or two verses in that whole section that says Jesus. Am I right? Amen. Listen to this. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We know that's Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. Hold on. This is so important about what's going on here. If you try to take verse 12 through verse 19 and you try to make it for the future, it makes no sense dealing with the future. But if you take verse 12 and add it to chapter 2 and 3 of the warning of the church of what you need to do in order to get to heaven, it makes more sense. It means you got to make some decision. If you take verse 6 all the way through 21, not make it future, but add it to chapter 2 and 3 of the warning to the church of the seven churches there in chapter 2 and 3, it makes sense because this is what you need to do in order to make sure you in chapter 21 through 22, verse 5, living with God in heaven. Let me break it down for you. Okay, let me break it down for you. It reminds me of a boss of a company, and he brings all employees in, and he wants to lay out for you the future goals of the company. Can I get a witness? Oh, that's a weak witness. We're talking about some exciting stuff here. Maybe you can relate to this. Amen. It's a coach. It's a coach. The new UW coach. And he's laying out now the next 10 years for his team and where he wants the team to be in the national championships and everything that's going to take place in the next several years as he's coaching. And all the guys are getting fired up. And they go, oh, yes, yes, we want to do it. And all of a sudden he says, okay, and if we're going to be there in 10 years, this is what you're going to have to start doing now. You're going to lose your scholarship. Can't hear you. The boss will tell you, that's what we're going to be at in 10 years. But if you don't start doing it now, you're not going to be here with us. Jesus says that is the book of Revelation. He gives us chapter 4 through 22, 5. And he says, this is what the future is going to be like. This is what heaven's going to be like. This is what the city is going to be like. It's going to be great. Then he comes back to the answer. But this is what you're going to have to do now to be there. Can't hear you. Does that make sense? Are we flowing together now? The preacher's preaching, and y'all just sitting there. It must be an East Side thing. I'm trying, Mom. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying. You'll pretend like you're happy. Nobody else will, won't you? Okay, man. I had to pay my mom to come, too. Don't feel bad. I am the Alpha and Omega, verse 13, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life. They may enter in through the gates into the city. For outside are dogs, oh my goodness, and sorcerers, fornicators, murderers, idolaters, whosoever love it and make a lie. If you think that this is the future, we got a problem with what heaven's going to be like. See that? And that's what people are trying to, they go, it don't make sense. Yes, it does. You just go back to the present day warning of the church right now. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him here say, come. And let him that is thirsty say, come. And whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. Oh, man, there's so much more to this than just the tree of life. There's so much more to it than just the river that runs through the city. There's so much more to it than just the fruit of the tree. It's so much more to it because there's a new life, there's a new body. Something is going on different here, and we're going to have to break that down. Ah, you know what? I thought that we was going to get to Matthew in 2 weeks. But, gee willikers, maybe a little while, a couple of extra weeks maybe, but we'll be there. Ooh, verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Whoa! Very mistranslated. If you understand the warning that goes back to the present day, it'll make a lot better sense to you. We're going to break that down. Verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Whoa, man, when you understand what it's really saying, you can get excited because I can see John, Jesus stopped speaking in verse 19. John takes back up in 19, and in your Bible, they got some red letters in verse 20. Can't hear you. Is that right? I don't believe that's Jesus speaking anymore. I believe it's John, verse 19 and 20, because all of a sudden, man, he sees the coach's pep talk. He's seen the whole game plan for the future. He sees that he's in the midst of bringing this message back. And he says, and the one who says, verse 20, I come quickly. That's him quoting what Jesus said. And then he says, I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Remember when we said that during communion? Even so, come quickly. Where do you think that came from? Right here, man, where John is repeating what the Lord Jesus said, warning the church, you don't know when I'm coming, but you better be ready when I do. Everybody got the message? And then verse 21, as he closed out, this man has seen revelation. This man is not, he wasn't taken, remember now, he wasn't just taken to see the future. He literally was picked up by God past us in our period from his time in the beginning of the church age, literally lifted and set in the future, and he's looking at it. He's not just dreaming about it. He's not hearing about it. God allowed him to move in that very existence because God is the everlasting now. So John is just the boy just overwhelmed. And the only thing he can end up by saying that makes it right is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Hey, we ain't got nothing else to say. You're just intoxicated with newness. Grace to you. Can't hear you, church. Amen, church. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have seen. I've been to the mountaintop. Seems like someone else said that. I not only got to the mountaintop, I looked over. I seen the coming of the Lord. Can't hear you. And he says, since I've seen it, come quickly. I want this. By the grace of God. Amen. And people say he couldn't finish it. That's man throwing their ideas into God's word. How in the world can you say you can't finish what you just saw except by amen? Come quick, Lord. I want this. I don't want to go back to the world down there. I don't want to go back to death. I don't want to go back to frustration. I don't want to go back to misunderstanding. I want this. You see, if you're not excited about getting involved that close with Jesus Christ, something's wrong with your understanding of what heaven's going to be. Can't hear you. Some of you are saying, well, we're going to get through early. I got a few more points. I want to throw at you. Go back to verse 1 through 5. We'll break this down really good next week. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clean as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the midst of the streets. I think you got God, you got the Son, you got God the Father, you got God the Son. It's not very much said about God the Spirit in heaven. Have you noticed that? I think there's some symbolism in the river and the water. The thirst, where you thirst no more, I will give you living water, where you thirst no more. Guess what that translates in many scriptures and verses? Spirit of God. I literally think there's a river. Remember, there's no more sea. God has destroyed the whole earth. There's no more sea. Only water that's going to flow is going to be coming from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's going to flow. We'll break that down. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life. You remember when God in the Garden of Eden, remember when he ran Adam and Eve out? He said, I must drive them out after they sin because of what? They may take of the fruit of the tree of life and do what? Live forever. We're going to break that down. What does that really mean? That the tree of life in heaven. Ooh, they're going to be exciting or what? Fake me out, will you please? Goodness gracious. And listen to what he says, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Look what heaven is going to... The epitome of heaven is the aspect of serving God. That is what we're getting ready for. To serve God. Everything we do is to serve God. Now let me break it down for you. He said, as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it to me. God says when you're serving in this church, it's not for the pastor. When you're serving in this church, it's not to look good. When you're serving in this church, it is for God. God alone. That way you can't burn out. When you're picking up them black boxes, you can't burn out. When you're picking up them chairs, you can't burn out. When you're loading them trailers, you can't burn out. When you're coming in to places not your own, you're serving God. Oh, I get so sick of it. Do you think that I care about you enough to do this every week? I sit up here, man, and I think I put together some serious sermons. I think they are as clear because I'm not that smart, so they got to be clear. Amen. They say, if you want the kids to eat the cookies, put them on the bottom shelf. And I preach and I tell you what God says, and you'll walk right out of here and go sin some more. I can't hear you. I tell you, if fornication is wrong, you can't have sex before marriage, and you'll go right out of here and do it. And then you'll come back next week and sit down, and you heard me preach that. You heard me preach about marriage, and you go right out and get a divorce and then call the church wanting the support of the church. You think that I love you enough to come here every week after that kind of inconsistency? The only reason I can keep going is because it's not about you. It's serving God. When you sit there, man, over and over and every day, every week, preach your heart out and people don't get, oh, pastor, he's changed. He's changed so much. He's getting too political. God has never called the church to be inside the four walls. It says, get out and be the salt of the world. If you get in the world, they're going to think you're political, even though you're being spiritual. Now, at least the spiritual people ought to know. Do you think I hear that mess over and over and over again? You change, you don't preach the same, and then you think I want to come back here and stand before you and do it if it was doing it for you? I do it for God. I am serving God because I don't want to wait till I get to heaven to do it. Amen. Oh, it's all about serving God, isn't it? All about serving God. And when we get the right perspective, you can't burn out. And when I want to quit and when I say it ain't worth it anymore, Lord, these folks don't even get it at all. Jesus Christ says, who do you think you are, boy?
I died on the cross and they didn't get it. And you think you're a little tired because you're preaching? Get out of heaven. Go back down there and preach some more. And I go, yes, sir. Yes, sir, master. Do y'all understand that? I can override all the prejudice from everything that come up in my generation and in my culture from slavery on down, and I can still say I'm a slave and don't feel bad about it because my master is who I'm serving, the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to know, do you understand why we're here? Is to learn to serve the master so when we get to heaven, it won't be so strange. Amen.